Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of Just Keep Writing,
a podcast for writers by writers to keep you writing.
I'm Marshall.
And I'm Nick.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm looking at you all jazzed up.
Oh, dude, like, what's up, Utah Jazz? Game 5, lost to the Rockets.
Sorry they lost, buddy.
If you're a sports fan, you probably know what I'm talking about. If you don't follow in the NBA at all, my gear doesn't make sense to you. So,
well, and you also can't see them, but I can see them.
Ah, yes. Very valid point. Very valid point.
That's an audio medium, my friend. But I am actually literally recording our video for a future Patreon stuff. So,
yes.
I'll go ahead and segue into that real quick at the top of the show. I just want to thank our newest patron, Mr. David Whale, for contributing to our Patreon, dude. That's exciting.
We appreciate it. We've seen you out on Discord, and you've been a great voice and a great mentor so far in the seeking help section. We love your opinions and your input on everything. So, David, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Seriously, thank you. And we will have, we're still adjusting Patreon a little bit. So if you want to jump in on the ground floor, please do that. You know, any amount will do, and it supports what we are doing and what we plan to do in the future. So we have content ideas for what we want to give to Patreon subscribers. So thank you, David, for doing that. We appreciate that, man.
And on that note, Discord. It's always great to be on Discord. I'm not going to lie. We have a good group going and stuff like that. David Whale, actually, as well. And this is outside of him being our newest Patreon as well. So no one think he didn't pay for advertising on this one. But no, he did just have a book come out. And I believe it's book 2 in his series, Out of the Black by David Whale.
Awesome.
So he's got book 1 and 2 on his website, whalewriter.com/shop. So we'll post a link on there and let you guys take a look at that. Check him out. Follow him on Twitter, Discord, Facebook, whatever outlets that he has.
Yeah. And look, the upside to having a community like this is, of course, getting to highlight when people do cool things, and publishing books is a cool thing, which is literally why we're doing this
podcast. I couldn't be more excited for the people out there and our listeners who do get published or print a book. It's awesome. If you guys end up getting accepted in any workshops or anything like that, let us know. We want to highlight that for you guys and just congratulate you openly and publicly.
So this week we're going to kind of continue our conversation from last week a little bit. Yeah. We got some feedback. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, before we jump fully into it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's week 10, episode 10.
We did it.
There's a 1-0 in there somewhere.
We did it.
Now we just got to get another 0 added on.
Eventually. No, it's funny.
No, I'm excited.
It's funny, man, that you say that. Like, we haven't been as consistent in the last, 5-6 months or so because of my co-host, but my other show, we've been running, it was 4 years in January, and I just put out episode 156 yesterday, I think. On it's just kind of crazy, dude. Like, eventually it happens, but it takes time, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited to get there and start building up our little community. I also wanted to let everyone know that it's the last episode of the month.
Okay.
Because next week, we roll into May.
What are we doing in May, man? Do you know?
So just so everyone knows, I was not able to secure my interview with Dong Won Song. Our schedules just didn't work out. He's always super busy. And I had to go back to work halfway through the conference. So
that didn't
work out for me. So I only got one full day of workshopping in, even though I was up there for 3, which you guys know the story on that. So I didn't get that interview. So I do apologize for anyone who's super excited about it, but made some other good contacts out there. So we'll get more interviews lined up here soon. Marsh and I both have been quite busy this last month and will continue to do so through most of May. I would expect another interview from us, I don't know. Would you say June?
Yeah, June makes more sense. I might be able to get.
Yeah,
I have a couple friends who write in very. I have a couple friends. I think that I one friend in particular. I know that I can, we can get on the show at least by then. So, perfect. And I have some other writer friends who I think I can get on. When my buddy Tim comes back up through town, I want to get him on the show for sure. He has. Been all through the agent game. He writes nonfiction, but he's also writes for NBC News, and he also writes. He wrote for the LA Times. Him and his wife, does travel writing. So it's a whole kind of thing. And I like to, if we're gonna get into the business of writing, I think that might be a good person to talk to, at least on that side of it. So
yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I know I spoke with Emily King, and she's. More than willing to jump on an interview with us. Nice. And she's actually, I want to say she's either contracted or she's publishing through Amazon, but not like upload through Amazon. Okay. No, her agent got her a deal with the Amazon print press.
Oh, that's cool.
And I can't remember the name of that company, but yeah, she's with Amazon on that and they pay out every month.
Oh, that's cool.
So rather than every 6 months, she gets a check every month from Amazon. Wow. So
I'd love to know a bit more about that. Yeah, man. Yeah. So eventually we'll get there. I just looked it up. We're at 177 episodes in my other show.
Oh,
that's four.
Nice.
That's over 4 years of madness. So we're just talking about geek stuff anyway, man. It's a totally different deal, but
yeah. Oh, MoCon's next week.
MoCon.
I will be getting interviews out there. I don't know how much of it we'll use for our regular show and how much we're going to use it for Patreon, just due to the nature of everything that's going to happen at the MoCon, at least from what I anticipate.
Right.
But I will have a mic. I will have a table. And I'm just going to hit record and see what happens.
Yeah, man. And anything that we end up getting, we could also – I have a couple of different ideas depending on – how you record the episodes and stuff like that. If you just sit down and chat with people, we can pull parts of it and talk about it for future episodes. We can upload the whole thing for Patreon subscribers. So these are all just ideas I'm just throwing out there right now. So if you want extra bonus super content from published authors from conventions going forward, Patreon might be the place for it.
Absolutely. Boom. Anna, coming up next month on Patreon, Marsh and I will be posting 1,500 words a month.
Oh, yes. Next month.
Oh.
Dude.
We're basically writing short stories for our listeners.
Speaking of short stories, I feel like we're really segueing right now, dude. Here's what happened. I was getting really frustrated with the amount that I wasn't writing. Well, I just got super busy last few weeks with vacation, everything else. I'm just like, I just want to write something. And so I told myself, I said, all right, well, I'd like to try to enter short story contests and stuff like that. Like, I'm working on these bigger pieces, but I want to be doing other things as I'm going when I need a break, right? So I just started going through one of my favorite websites. I don't know if you ever go to stupid stuff like this, but futurism.com is basically a website that highlights tech that's coming, new tech and tech stories. It's all around technology. So I was like, what better place to get inspiration for a short story that I want to write a science fiction?
Do you see this face?
I see your face.
So y'all don't understand. I spend hours every night looking at stuff. On this site, I was looking at futuristic roads.
Yeah, dude.
Plastic roads, solar panel roads. Like, what is a road going to look like? I envision it like mainstream freeways and highways are all track systems. Yep. You plug in where you want to go and what exit you want to go on. And it's all automated. So there's no more wrecks on the freeway. Like, that's my solution. It's no more wrecks on the freeway and people dying from it. Like, put an escalator for a car.
I went so far, man, as to give my students an assignment around it because my English classes, I was talking about future of technology and stuff like that, and that was one thing. But the other, with my tech class I'm teaching right now, I needed something for them to do while I had a sub, while we were on vacation or whatever. And I was just like, all right, well, explore this website and fall down the rabbit hole. The amount of times I would just like keep clicking on things and finding things, it's amazing. And what I like about websites like this, and the reason I'm bringing it up, and obviously we're not, sponsored by Futurism, because give me a break. But the point is that this site is a really good springboard for like, wait, so if this is a thing, what if this thing? And could I make this into a story? And I did that the other day. I sent you that crazy first line from that short story. I'm up to 3,200 words in that story, dude. And I'm stoked. I think I'll be able to finish it in the next couple of days. I want to finish it this weekend and then start revising it, and then I'll kick it to you and see what you think. It's fun, man.
Done.
It's going in a weird place, but I dig it. So
done. So on that note too. So what I will submit to our Patreon people, I'm obviously going to let you read first. And I think I might just do it in increments, or I might just do the full, like, I think I have like 7,000 words on it.
Okay.
I'm not even sure. But it started out where it was going to be a series of short stories following this one main character.
Right.
But I created something so great in my first 3,000 words that someone was like, I want to know about this scenario that you talk about and hint about. But don't actually talk about.
I see.
And I was like, oh, crap. Okay. it's turning into like three different 7,000 word short stories.
That's all right.
But I will submit it to you because I do need a sensitivity reader on it.
Okay.
Because my main character is a black character.
Okay.
So I need a sensitivity reader on it. And then I just need to know if it's any good.
Yeah.
So Barbara Lund has read part of it,
okay.
So I'm excited. She did enjoy it and gave me good feedback.
Good.
But,
well, it's funny is you mentioning that you're writing a black character. I, despite my first line, that character is white.
Okay. Can you share your first line,
yeah,
please?
So the first line was, I didn't know I was black until I got to the Apple store.
Rabbit hole, dude. When you sent me that, I was just like, what is going on? This is great.
It's so much fun, dude. I'm having a blast with it. But and the one thing I want to put into the show notes this week is why I'm trying to get it below 5,000 words is the writing contest for the Surrey International Writers Conference is what I'm trying to enter. And you can enter as many times as you want. It's $15. First prize is $1,000, but you get publication and the honorable mention is publication as well. I haven't sat down to write a short story in years, and I'm having a really fun time with it. I am trying to keep everything short. And I got off on a little bit of a tangent yesterday, and that's when I started texting. I was like, I'm up actually over 3,000 words and I might need to figure this out here. So.
Short stories are just a different beast. Yeah. I totally forgot. I mentioned Barbara Lund giving good feedback on that.
Yeah.
She just got accepted to be a panelist for SpikeCon.
Oh.
So, cool. Shout out to Barbara. That's awesome. I've actually submitted to be a panelist on there too. So, hopefully this week I find out.
Awesome, but dude.
I don't have the accolades that Barbara does. She's been published in several short story areas. So,
well, Barbara's awesome, see. But, you know.
She's great.
I'm glad you threw your hat in the ring, dude. Let me know how it goes.
Oh, I will. I'll take pictures and give a shout out to everyone on stage.
Nice. Also, dude, well, we don't need to talk about that. That's something else. I'm just excited about Avengers tomorrow. So, that's all.
I wish we could release this episode right before it comes out.
I know.
But it's not going to happen.
Anyway, all of that said,
we're going to talk about social issues again, guys. Not that the fact that we use social issues in our writings and we should be acknowledged for it in science fiction and fantasy, but this is about how to incorporate them. Constance Fay, you're great. You're awesome. I can't speak volumes of how inclusive you are in our Discord and everything like that. But
she's amazing.
Her and David actually had a good conversation about bringing up social issues without making it like a political piece, without making it a stance in your writing. And right. I thought that was really good because it's encompassing to everyone that it's more or less saying, hey, this is the issue. Even though I have my opinion as a person, I'm not going to force that on my readers. So I felt that was super important and something we can get to talk about and use some examples that we've either read from or hint, hint, wink, wink, currently writing.
Right. And I think the thing that I first want to say about this is you don't want to beat your readers over the head with your agenda. You might have an agenda. You might have like for me, all my, I'm just gonna say it, all my writing has an undercurrent of, you know, racial or social issues, but that doesn't need to be the end all be all in the story I'm trying to tell. You know what I mean? And I'm not gonna, I don't want to make I'm not going out of my way to say, okay, remember, this is what we're talking about, and keep hitting them with it as you go forward. You make that part of the world, and you make that part of what's going on, and then you let them interpret it from there. Some people might completely miss it depending on how you structure your story, but I mean, I'm okay with that too. Like, I always like to go to movies, of course, but I don't know how quickly I want to get to movies, but I'm gonna let you say things first, and then I might get off tangenty again. So go ahead.
Works for me. I'm kind of thinking we just need to post this episode uncut today.
Uncut. So
uncut and raw.
But my thing is, dude, with films, I mean, did you see Get Out by any chance?
I haven't seen that one yet, and that was one where I was like, I don't know if I want to see it. Mm-hmm. Because I just felt there was a very underlining tone that white people hate black people. Mm. And because he was dating a white girl, her parents were trying to kill him.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't want to really watch that.
Right.
But then that's my ignorance showing too, that I don't really know what the movie's about.
Right. And I'm not going to tell you what the movie's about. I'd actually like you to watch that movie if you give it some time and check it out. And then I'd like to actually talk to you about it before I use that as a talking point today, which I will not do. But movies like that, like, there are moments where it's like, okay, yeah, we get it, but there's more going on there than what you just said, for example, right?
That makes me happy.
And that's not actually the undercurrent of the entire thing. It's really showing that people are people, and some people are just jerks and some people are just insane. And that's okay. And that's part of what's going on there.
I would very much enjoy that film then.
Yeah. So check it out and let me know. You might have a different opinion, but I liked that it touched on all the social stuff. Obviously, you know, Jordan Peele, that was his purpose in this. But at the same time, it's not a beat you over the head every 2 seconds with it. There's other things going on there, not just race. So,
yeah, no, and you know, and maybe this is just me. I don't go watching movies for political agendas.
No.
And if I get any rumors of that, like, I just avoid it until it's out for free on Netflix or something. But that's just me.
It's funny. I was literally just telling my assistant coach, my buddy Jason, we were coming back in the van today with the kids from our last golf match. And what was funny today was we ended up talking about movies. And I'm like, oh, I'm excited to see Avengers tomorrow, blah, blah. And he was talking about some of the movies he goes to see in the theater. And I'm like, okay, cool. We obviously have very different types of movies we go and see. I end up seeing a lot of the movies that he sees in the theater, but I don't go to the theater to see those type of movies. Do you know what I mean? I don't right. go to the theater to see a Get Out. I go to the theater to see an Avengers or a Star Wars or something like that. Like, I will ultimately see the movies with the social commentary and the heavier stuff when I'm in the mood for it, but I'm going to go to the theater to be entertained and escape. And the stories that I love and grew up with are the ones that I'm attached to. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
that said, there are social issues and race issues and everything else under the sun in the Marvel movies and you know, the big blockbusters. And of course, you know, Star Wars and stuff like that. I mean, it's there. It's not as, you know, again, these franchises, I think, do a pretty good job of including everybody and being able to let everybody see the movies with making comments on those things as well, which is, I think, is what our friends in the Discord are saying, is don't, it's not about beating them over the head with it. It's about presenting it and letting people take what they want from it, but making sure that if you want to say a thing, you know, put it out there, but it doesn't have to be the main focal point the whole time, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. When it comes to films, I look at, like, political documentaries are ones that are just hitting you in the face with a bunch of stuff, and that's all they want to do. And then when it comes to the works of literature, in science fiction and fantasy, if you hit on it way too hard, you're going to turn that into a literary fiction novel.
Yep.
And then you're not – I mean, and then you're going to missell your book, and then it is what it is.
People,
you know?
Yeah. So what you're saying is people might buy the book thinking it's about dragons, but really it's not. Really, it's about whatever political agenda you're putting forward.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
And yeah. And so, and that's one of those things is where, like, I'm not bashing on literacy fiction. There's obviously a home for it and it's successful. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the works of science fiction and fantasy, like, it's touching on the social issues that we are currently seeing. Dawn of Wonder, The Awakening, book one, Jonathan Renshaw.
Okay.
Great book. I'm mad that he's not working on book two, or he's taken like 8 years to do it. But besides the point, his book is it's a great story about a boy, his best friend. No, semi spoilers. Warning.
3, 2, 1, go.
So his best friend that he grew up with, she gets kidnapped, and some people raided his village and stuff like that. And he, throughout the course of his story and finding a new home with his parents and constantly being abused by his dad and like that socially acceptable and stuff like that, and finding out that his best friend was, you know, rung into slavery and sold and stuff like that. And it's things like that where the author, I've read his bio and stuff like that in his works, like he wants to highlight human trafficking,
mm-hmm.
and how it's done and why people turn a blind eye to it and things like that. And I thought that was a great point, because it's like, oh, I didn't even think about that in the beginning. Like,
right.
Because, you know, kidnapping someone and taking them to another land and selling them for something is wrong. But, you know, you don't really, unless you're looking into it, like, I feel like you can do it in a way, incorporating things like that. Going back to R.A. Salvatore and his Drit series, the unknown is scary. So, stories are passed down of how bad drow are and the dark elves. And you see one, mm-hmm. you run because you're going to die. Like, but no one's had interaction with them in like hundreds of thousands of years, or never even seen one. You know, and it's unknown to them. It's an unknown quantity that's scary.
And I think what's interesting about that, going back to the drow too, is that it's the stigma too. And I think that's what Salvatore's playing with a little bit, the stigma of certain races or ethnicities or regions that people think,
yeah.
you know, for example, terrorists come from or something like that. Do you see what I mean? Or religions. And it's like, okay, well, he's playing with this idea, because no matter, there can be exceptions, and there are a few, there yeah. are two or three notable exceptions that will buck the entire system if people actually knew it was happening. You know what I mean? I think that's really important. You can't stigmatize an entire, race or religion. And I think that's the underlying message in those books. And it's fantasy. It's high fantasy. It's fantasy to where it's like, the fight scenes go on for pages and pages and pages, and it's about more D&D a lot of the time than anything yeah. else, because that's where it comes from. But and it's a joy, and it's yeah. fun to read. But if you sit down and you look and say, "So what is he actually doing here?" And he's doing, he's touching on social issues that we're dealing with right now, and all of that's really important. It's 2019. Yes, we still have human trafficking. So how can you showcase? Bring up that you want to deal with human trafficking in a fantasy and sci-fi setting? Well, that happens all the time in fantasy and sci-fi. So you make that part of the world, and make that just what the world is about, but make people question when they see a story about, you know, a ring of human traffickers, you know, busted, you know, for example, and people are like, wait, this is happening? It's 2019. Oh, I was just reading this sci-fi book or this fantasy novel about, you know what I'm saying? And like, and letting people kind of take it from there, you know?
Oh, no, I totally agree. And I mean, I'm getting irritated thinking about human trafficking just because it's so prevalent.
Well, let's move on to something else then.
We're good. Like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where, you know, like if you guys don't want to include social issues into your works, that is totally fine. But do keep in mind the world that you build will have some type of social issue. And so you need to make that part of your world. If you reflect current social issues or past social issues, totally fine. But just know your character is going to have to, at one point or another, that's going to be part of it. like whether they just go with the flow and they're ignorant to everything, or if they buck the system, yeah, or if they're a little bit of both. So,
and
unless I'm wrong, you guys can tell me I'm wrong.
Well, and no, you're not, I mean, well, I'll let them tell you, but I honestly think I'm joking, but I honestly think, man, and one of the things I wanted to play with in this short story I'm writing too, is the idea of like, you know, I told you the first line and then it didn't, the story, I pants the beginning of the story and I was like, okay, well, this is not where I thought it was going to go, but I like this better. And what am I actually trying to say? And really what I'm end up playing with is more socioeconomic issues in the future. Like, it's a sci-fi story, but there's still a huge disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And despite the technology, despite this amazing technology that we're going to end up having in the next 20 years, we're going to see a huge jump in technology again. I know it, you know, and the futurists have predicted it, you know. But that aside, I wanted to play with this idea of like, we're still going to have to deal with the disparity between the haves and the have-nots and the socioeconomic issues that I see every day at the high school. You know, there are kids that their only meals are at the high school every day. And there are kids who get to go off campus every day and buy whatever they want for lunch. It's a huge disparity. And, in my little small town and every town and people, yeah. And it's just something that is always going to be there until we figure it out, until it's literally the Star Trek. You know, Star Trek, where we just, you know, we're done with money, you know, and everybody has what they can get and we give people jobs and whatever. And I mean, I don't know what we're talking about, but that's the future in Star Trek is, well, we don't need to deal with money. We're beyond money now. And that solves an entire problem outside of the race stuff, obviously, but it solves an entire problem of just people having more than others, you know? So that's kind of what I decided to play with in the story I'm writing. So
I like that. I may not agree with the way Star Trek did it. And I mean, granted, it's fantasy.
Well, no, sci-fi. I mean, sci-fi, bro.
I mean,
I'm not saying it would work.
And that's where I'm like, I don't see how that's going to work because
it wouldn't.
it's not going to work because then you're just going back to the bartering system where. Or if you have more stuff, you are more rich and people mm-hmm. want to trade with you more, and then you can exploit all your stuff to everyone else. So,
right. And that's why
I don't know.
I'm not saying there's still currency in the galaxy in Star Trek, but you don't have currency on Earth, right? So Earth is a utopia now, apparently, and everything else is crap and they're trying to figure that out. So humans have figured it out. We're better than everybody else and let's move forward. And again, I don't agree with that message either. And I don't know if that's what Roddenberry was trying to put across either, but I mean, again, this is part of it. This is why I like sci-fi and fantasy is because we can have this conversation. We can have this whole conversation about, you know, the socioeconomic structure in the Forgotten Realms universe. I mean, that's a mess. I mean, everything's a mess. But it's still a reflection of what we were dealing with every single day on Earth, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, bringing it back around to writing and stuff like that with those issues. No, you're good. I think it plays right into world building with social issues is that class structure, like in the socioeconomics, like what is it really going to look like, you know, 100 years from now, 300 years from now, like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like one of the things I've changed my mindset on is what success looks like. Which is, it's hard because, you know, we live in a nation that is ran by capitalism, which creates a lot of opportunity, but it also can be crippling for some. And in this type of, you know, type of arrangement, if you will, that we have, like, we measure success by material things, money, you know, job status. I had to change my mindset so I could actually make it through life to be okay with, you know, oh, I'm now out of the military and I'm a college student at 28 years old and not graduated. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because the standard, at least where I'm at, is you graduate by 22, you have a $50,000 job by 23. And it's like, I'm $8 an hour. What's up, college student?
And so. And I think that's the misnomer too. And that's part of I mean, there's a lot of history, especially in the United States, about why this is the case, but which I love this kind of stuff. But one of the, just to keep it simple, what I always tell my students is, I said, what do you want to do? Like, what does success look like? And they say, oh, I want to be rich. I said, okay, cool. But is that going to make you happy? And what does rich look like? And why does that make you successful? I feel like I'm at this point in my life, I just turned 40. I feel successful. There's other things I want to do, but I'm supporting my family. I have two awesome kids. I'm married. I have a house. I feel like I have done sort of the quote unquote American dream on some level. But yeah, I still have other dreams and I'm pursuing them. One of them is this writing thing, which is why we're doing this. I also love podcasting. I also like golf. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things I like, but the bottom line is, like, success doesn't mean that you're a millionaire. And I feel like there are a lot of millionaires out there that would agree that they are not, I don't know. I would say they probably would say they're successful, but not happy.
And unfortunately, I know a few people in that bracket of multimillionaire and they're not, dude.
Yeah.
They're workaholics. They're so driven.
Right.
By money. And this is not all of them, but they're the few that I have met and continuously to see and get to know a little bit. They're so consumed by making the next dollar. Like, yeah. It's ruining their family, like it's ruining their life, and they don't even know it. That's the worst part.
That's the problem.
Is they don't realize how much harm they're causing themselves. You know?
Right. I hear you, man. So let's bring this back to some sort of conclusive location. I'm looking at the time on our clock. So what do you want to focus on going forward? This is our last episode of the month. We've talked about a lot of issues this month, and I really like our episodes. We've gotten personal. We've also now focused on social issues a little bit. Let's bring it back to writing, and let's figure out what maybe we're going to do and what other tips maybe from the Discord that we should throw out there that we maybe didn't mention yet.
So for the most part, this month, it's kind of been focused on getting started, getting things generated. We've talked a lot about stuff this month. So if it seems all over the map, we apologize, but it's about getting started. And with things that we've talked about are things that you will need to figure out for your works and incorporate them either some way, shape, or form, or address the issue. If you just say, oh, money's not a thing, and you leave it at that, I hate to break it to you guys, but there's going to be so many red flags and questions about that. Like, how does it work? Especially when you go to try to buy something with your character. And I also feel like, you know, the social issues that we've talked about, your personal commitment to writing, that's really going to affect your characters. And so do focus on that. And I would say for myself, I'm going to do what I've been doing and take a neutral stance on political issues and social issues with my writing. And I'm going to make sure it's known. Like, the issues are known. But as, you know, my main character is a small person in a 3 million town, you know, there's only so much he can affect. So he does what he can to right the wrongs.
What's really important too, we're talking about getting started. We're talking about, you know, creating characters that obviously our characters reflect us in some way and our opinions. And I like the neutral stance. I mean, play with that. See how that goes. I honestly think that themes is something else we should probably talk about, which we've danced around a little bit the last couple weeks. But a theme of your novel or your work could be a stance on a social issue, right? But that's something that a theme will speak to the world that you've created. You know what I mean? Something simple like the theme is like, you know, the latest technology is not, you know, not gonna fix your life, right? That could be a theme, but that is also the crux of what is going on in the world, depending on the technology you're dealing with, you know, and that kind of thing. So, you know, these are the kind of things you have to keep in mind in the back of your head as you write is, you know, what are the themes you're trying to get across? What are the social issues that you want to touch on? But again, you don't want to beat people over the head with it. But also at the same time, is how do we get there? Do we just write a bunch of words down and then go back and fix it? Well, I would say, I would honestly say, have some of these things in mind before you get too deep so you have a direction, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The one thing I like to do is show, like, for my main character, not taking an interest in stuff, like he's never going to voice his opinion. Obviously, if there is an issue, he's going to be the one to step in or say something. So, for example, if he hears, you know, someone being berated with racial slurs, like, he's going to step in and he'd be like, hey, y'all, like, knock that shit off. You know what I mean? Things like that. Mm-hmm. There's going to be times where I'm going to have my main character, you know, go feed the homeless people, you know, because he's just walking by and it's like, cool, like, it's not my place to find you a house, but this is what I can do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's kind of the stance I take, is I reflect the world and the issues that's going on through my main character and his interactions. I do like the idea of themes, though. I love that for short mm-hmm. stories because it's quick, simple, and to the point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a one sentence theme that drives, that's the undercurrent through a short work, I think is super important.
Yeah. And I think what I'm going for in the short story series that I'm doing is that there's always a better way.
Okay.
And just because you've been doing it a certain way, or your culture has been doing it a certain way, doesn't mean it's correct or the right way.
Right. It doesn't mean it has to persist either.
Yeah. And that's...
And it can't change.
To be honest, it's kind of a play on R.A. Salvatore from our conversations, because mm-hmm. I feel like the drow and their stigma and their rumors, I feel like a lot of it's well-earned, but... With Dritz,
a lot of it is.
He's you know, he wants to be different. He's that person that can make a change. He can live a different way of life. And that's why he left. And his dad, Zach Nefay, knew it was wrong to live that way, but he kept, he stayed in the society. He still played his role.
Right.
Even though he felt different, he still went with it because that's what you had to do.
But it's also the idea of, and we have, obviously, in the LGBTQ communities and stuff like that, we have these issues too. It's like, you always know you are different. Like, Drizzt always knew he was different, but he acted on it. His father didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, so do you embrace who you actually are, or do you toe the line? You know what I mean? And that's, again, going back to the importance, I think, of fantasy, is like, we can attach the themes and the issues that Salvatore put forward in a fantasy realm, for lack of a better word, and put it on top of what we're dealing with right now. You know, well, I mean, I think that's super important.
You know, the most immediate example I can think of where LGBTQ community came into play for fantasy that I've read is George R. R. Martin. Mm-hmm. Like Oberon, Prince Oberon, holy shit, my favorite character. Damn, right. He died. But right. His society, I'm going to butcher the name where they're from. I don't know. Sun something.
The Dorns.
Yeah, Dorn.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Dorn is, it doesn't or matter.
Dawn. I always thought it was Dawn, but Dorn. Yeah, Dorn. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Dorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, their entire culture and society is like, it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, like making love and love is love. Like, and I really like that because it was like, oh. That's a simple concept. It's not shoving anything down my face on like,
right.
If you don't agree with it, you should go to hell, or the opposite. No, if you do that, you should go to hell. And it's like, that was a very nice little way to say, hey, like a person's a person. Love is love. Like,
and there's one society that has fully embraced the fact like, oh, you're cool.
Yeah.
You want to do something? And that's it. Nothing else in between matters, and I love it.
Yeah, it was great. And so I really appreciated that from George R. R. Martin, although I don't appreciate 90% of his other sex scenes or anything like that.
Oh, there's some other stuff in there people have problems with, but you know.
Yeah.
I think I don't do rape things.
I can't watch it, I can't read about it. Like, it just puts a nasty feeling in me. Like,
you're talking about the incest stuff?
Okay. Daenerys is 13 years old. Khal Drogo is like 40. He just takes her. And she's crying. And it's like, F, dude. Like, what? Yeah, there's multiple rape scenes throughout the series and stuff like that. And the incest didn't bother me. Call me weird, but it's like, eh, whatever. Like, they're two consensual adults. It was a norm, but not a norm at the same time. You had more issue with the age disparity and stuff like that.
Well, then
just the non-consensual sex. It was no, I'm taking this. And you're like, and then he explained the full scene, and it was just too graphic for me. And I don't need it.
I hear you.
That's just me. I don't do that stuff. I skip that stuff in movies, too.
I listen to books really fast, so maybe I just kind of... No, I'm joking. Hey. anyway, buddy, I think we're at a good stopping point. What else do we want to... Anything else we want to say before we get take off?
Next month, be prepared. We'll announce our topic for next month, either through Discord or Facebook, but we will bring back our challenge for the month. This month, we really didn't... It's just about getting started, guys. Like, we don't want to put any pressure on you guys or anything like that. And we're going to bring back the writer's test as well. But it's just one of those things. We didn't want to bombard anyone with stuff and making you guys feel like you had to do things like homework. And if you guys did or did not like that, let us know now so we don't do it. I think
on that note, it's important too, is like, this is a new show. If there's something that doesn't work, or something that you want, or anything in between, let us know. And if we bring something back, you know, we'll try it again if it doesn't work. But like I said, we want you guys to be writing. We don't want to give you, we want to help. We don't want to add to, the difficulty of writing in and of itself. So I think it's important.
Amen to that, my friend.
It's been Just Keep Writing, a podcast for writers by writers to keep you writing. I am at Darth Pops on Twitter, and Nick is at Write Inks. You can find this show on iTunes and your favorite podcatchers, so like and share this show with your writing community. If you'd like to share or discuss anything we talked on the show, the last week's task, or whatever you have going on, you can post it on our Discord channel, Facebook page, or send it to me. I am Marshall at MarshallCarr.com or Nick at NicholasBright at BrightInks.org. You can find our writing and the show notes for each episode on our websites, MarshallCarr.com and BrightInks.org. Lastly, if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is Patreon.com/JustKeepWriting. And you can find us there and give us a couple bucks an episode and help us do what we do, and we can help you.
You've got the homework done. You have a challenge up ahead of you. Now just keep writing.